invite you to turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Psalms and chapter number 1. Well, I'm going to tell you, I saw one on Sunday morning that topped the first night of the Jubilee last year when I told Brother Hardin to clip this microphone on his nose. I don't know how many of y'all watched Brother Messick on Sunday morning, but he turned her up and was going to talk in the tail of it. And I thought, buddy, I'm glad there's somebody else here that's in about as bad a shape as what Brother Hall is. And I'm glad Brother Doug come to the rescue. I didn't want to say anything. But I appreciate the Messick family. You pray for them. They'll be with Brother Milby tomorrow night in service, and then they're going to take a few days just of leisure time on their way back to Canada and spend some time together going back. Would you believe now, are you ready for this? They had frost at their home in Canada last night. And that was mild. The weather forecast had been calling for snow. And already in September. And I'll be honest with you, I'm glad it's him and not me. I thank God for Kentucky. Amen. I'm glad I live here. And somebody else lives up there, and I don't have any hankering or desire to live anywhere in Canada. Everybody talks about how beautiful Canada is. Well, I'm gonna tell you something. Kentucky ain't gonna look bad to me. Amen. And I'll take the rolling hills and the flatlands and the coal mines and the reclaimed mines and that sort of thing. I'll take that any day of the week. I like Kentucky. I find no fault in Kentucky, and so I'm glad I'm here. Psalm number 1, and when you find that in your Bible, if you haven't already, when you do, let's stand together, and we'll read all 6 verses of this little psalm together tonight. Psalm chapter number 1. And verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." The way of the ungodly, it shall perish. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the songs that we've sang tonight and the fellowship we've enjoyed. I thank You just for the privilege of being in God's house tonight. Lord, I'm glad in my heart I can be here. There's a lot of other places, Lord, that I could be tonight, but I'm glad that You saved me a long time ago and settled it that on church nights that we'd be in the house of God. And I pray that You'd help our hearts tonight as we look into this psalm, that You'd provide, Lord, of the Spirit that I need to preach in. God, that You would touch every heart with what's said. God, You'd help us to leave this place tonight as better Christians. Help us to leave tonight rejoicing in our heart for what God has done for us. I want to say, Lord, I'm thankful tonight above all things in my heart that You saved me, and Lord, that You're keeping me by the power of God. And I pray that You'll help our church as we enter into the last week, Lord, before our Jubilee meeting. I ask You, God, to move on our hearts and, God, elevate our spirits into a place of worship and adoration of God. Help us, Lord, to have a mind to work. I pray, Lord, that You'd help the preachers that make their way here to preach with great power on them. And, Lord, liberate us from any sin that may have us bound. And, God, sanctify us wholly in the Lord. I pray You'll cleanse our hearts and our minds, Lord, and our flesh from any sin that may be there. I'd ask You tonight to bless Your people in general and help us magnify the blessed name of the Lord Jesus, and we'll thank You for doing that In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. Well, I've got tonight and Sunday morning is all I'm going to have to preach to you before we move in to the Jubilee. And I'll be quite honest, it doesn't look like we're going to get the spirit of the church quite as high as what I'd like to have it entering into the meeting. But I will say that I do believe we've come a ways in the past few weeks. I believe God's helped us to some degree, and we've been able to move along just a little bit in our spirit. And it does appear, and I believe God is going to help us come next week. And so I've been wondering through the days what God would have me to preach in these final services to try to edify God's people and try to exhort you a little bit, encourage you in the faith that God's given us. And I thought tonight along the lines of preaching out of the last chapter of Genesis on the life of Joseph just a little bit, and especially on Joseph rearing his children and then having the privilege of raising the boys of Ephraim on his knee, or Manasseh on his knee, I believe it was, and seeing the children of Ephraim to the third generation. I'm glad that Joseph had a part in the life of his grandchildren. But the Lord seemed to direct my thoughts tonight to Psalm number 1. And I really don't have a title for the message, but we might entitle it, The Godly and the Ungodly. If Psalm 1 does anything, it gives us a picture of the godly man as well as a picture of the ungodly man. Now, someone has said that Psalm 1 is maybe regarded as the preface. I call it a preface. I think most of the scholars say a preface to the Psalms in general. It has in it a notification of the contents of the entire book. When I say that, what I'm saying is that in Psalm 1, we can find the general theme that our Lord is trying to convey to our hearts throughout the entire book of Psalms. And every book in the Bible has a particular theme. And it'd help you in your study to learn what theme it is that God is trying to get across to in that particular book. It will remain dominant throughout the entire book. And so the book of Psalms has the contents in it of the entire book. The psalmist's desire is to teach us in the way of a blessed life. He says that in Psalm 1, verse 1, when he said, "Blessed is the man." Now, that's a wonderful thing. He is trying here to teach us the way that we can live in order to have a life that is blessed of God indeed. And may I say to you tonight that it is entirely opposite, is a 180-degree turn from the ungodly man. God wants to bless our life. I don't know if people today really believe that God wants to bless them, not only when we assemble in church, but God wants to bless us in our daily life, our daily activities, in the practical Christian life that we live for the glory of God. I mean, hey, God does want to help you pay your bills. And God does want to help you have a healthy body. And God does want to help you have a good family. God does want to help you live in a good, healthy environment around the home. God does want your children to grow up right. God does want His blessings on you. And I know He does, because He said in Ephesians 1, that God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so what God is trying to convey to your heart in the book of Psalms is that there is a blessed life that He wants you to live as a child of God. Blessed is the man, or happy is the man. God really wants you to be happy in your life. I'm telling you, I've never seen so much unhappiness in God's people in all my years of preaching. But God want you to be happy. He saved you by His grace. He lifted you out of the quagmires of sin. He brought you out of degradation. And God desires you to have a happy life. He does not want us discouraged, disappointed, or defeated. God wants us walking in victory and having and leading a happy life for the glory of God. And so, the book starts, the book of Psalms begins with God blessing His people. And you know, I thought this was appropriate. Has it ever occurred to you the book of Psalms ends? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a reason for that. I believe a man that really understands the blessings of God will be appraising the Lord for those blessings. And I believe what He's trying to show us here is that God starts our Christian life by blessing us. And brother, when it's time to go home and meet God, we're going to be appraising Him. Brother, if you just ever take time to look back over your Christian experience and take inventory, I mean, just sit down a little while and count your blessings. Brother George sang that song tonight, count your blessings, name them one by one. I'm going to tell you where our problem is tonight. We're always looking on the negative. We're always looking at the bad times. Brother, if we had sat down and count our blessings one by one and look back over what God's done for us, like the psalmist, we also could say, praise the Lord, and let everything that hath breath praise the Lord for His goodness to us in the land of the living. Brother, I can say tonight that God has been good to this old boy. Amen. I've got more than I deserve. Or to be in hell tonight with my neck broke. But here I am wearing a suit and a necktie. Praise God, and got on a pair of Rockport shoes I've been wearing for 7 or 8 years. And they ain't even wore out yet. And I never even bought them. And somebody said, well, your health is going downhill. Oh, yeah, but although the outward man perished, that inward man's being renewed every day by day, praise God. And it's that inward man that God's looking to bless. It's the soul of man that God's looking to bless tonight. Amen. Isn't that right? Some of you look kind of staggered. Huh? And so it starts out with blessing. And it ends up with God appraising us. Now, this psalm, it warns. It not only teaches us a blessed life, but it warns us of the damnation of sinners. The Bible said in verse 6 there, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I'm telling you, that is a warning. God is saying the ungodly man shall perish. But I'm glad that God loved the world and gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so the Psalm 1 starts out with God blessing the godly man and God condemning the ungodly man to a lake of fire. They'll have no place in the congregation of the righteous, and they shall not stand in the judgment of God, for they know not the way of God, they know not the righteousness of God, and they'll be condemned in hell forever and ever. That's right. And so it begins with God blessing His people and condemning the lost man, the ungodly man, to a lake of fire. They will perish. His way will perish. I'm going to tell you, anytime you look out in the world and get the idea that you'd like to follow their ways, you better think on it a little bit, because their way is going to perish. Some, they may be a flying high now, but that way is going to perish. And I'm telling you, there's pleasure in sin for a season, folks. And I'm telling you, the high life and the party life, and you young people better listen to Brother Hall right here, the high life and the party life
and the booze and the drugs and all that goes along with it and party time, it looks good on the outside, but I'm telling you, that way, my friend, will perish someday. That way will lead you down the corridors of death and wind up in the chambers of hell where there is no golden key that'll unlock the door that you can get out of. I'm telling you, the way of the sinner, the way of the ungodly, it'll perish someday. It'll perish. Oh, that crowd, Elvis had it his way and he's in hell. I read an article in the paper today, something about John Lennon. I'm going to tell you something else. Big Bad John's in hell. Amen. That is exactly right. You can't have a... That's right. Somebody said, I believe Elvis was saved. Dancing leg and a dancing foot and a praying knee don't go on the same body, friend. Won't work. I'm telling you, Elvis is in heaven. I am a one-eyed billy goat sitting on top of the Empire State Building shooting green apples through a slingshot at the moon. Ain't going to work. The way of the ungodly shall perish. Hear what it said? Blessed is the man that is righteous, but the way of the ungodly should perish. And God gives us a warning in this psalm of that. You know why God does that? God's so merciful. He does that to try to steer men away from their sin. He throws up that warning as a signal to try to turn men from their sin. But I'm telling you, men, like a blind dog in a meat house, keep right on a chasing their sin. I bet you don't remember, I preached a message years ago on blind men seeking Jesus. And I'm telling you, they do it, my friend, as blind. Those men that come to Lot's house, God, Jesus, that angel reached out and blinded those men, and yet they clawed at the door to try to get in where he was at. I believe the two angels on the inside was the Lord Jesus and the Holy Ghost, and God the Father was yet up by Abraham while Abraham was afraid. And there was blind men scratching at the door trying to get to Jesus. And I'm telling you, blind men today are yet trying to get to Him, but their eyes are closed to the truth because they will not accept it. And their way will perish. Their way will perish someday. I know that is right. Now you stay right with me. This book and this chapter, it contrasts the life of the godly and the life of the ungodly. Now, I want you to notice in verse 1, several things I want to point out. We'll not be long now. But notice the degradation of the ungodly man in his life. I'm not about it's a downhill. It's downhill, ladies and gentlemen. Some of you people in here that may be lost, especially you young people, you better listen to what I'm saying. It is downhill all the way. The life of a sinner man never gets any better. It'll only get worse. I'm telling somebody said, why? Because your heart will grow harder and harder, and your mind will get chaffed. And brother, I'll tell you, it'll resist even greater of the great gospel of the Lord Jesus. And that life is a downhill spiral that'll end up in hell someday. Somebody said, where do you see that at? Well, notice in verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now this man is blessed that don't do these things. That tells me that the ungodly man does do these things. In other words, he starts out his life walking in the counsel of the ungodly. I will say you better be careful who you listen to. Oh, you better be real careful who walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm telling you, there are those, my friend, that would rather believe a lie than they would the truth. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I don't believe that. I'm telling you, my friend, in the tribulation period, the Antichrist will so deceive people that they will believe a lie and be damned. You know why? Because they would not believe the truth of the gospel. And brother, we got people there today, Brother Wayne. We got them there today. They'd rather believe a lie than they would believe the truth. I've told people in this church, they've come to me and asked me, Brother Hall, here's this. Now you tell me what we need to do. And I've told them what's right, and they'll go right out and do exactly the opposite of what I've told them. You know why? Because they believe their way is the right way rather than believing the truth that somebody told them. They want to believe what they want to believe. And I'm telling you, that's what's wrong with America tonight. That's why folks are wrapped up in the Quran and all this other myth. They want to believe what they want to believe rather than believing the account that God has given us of His Son. They ain't going to believe that Bible. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Notice here he's walking. But all of a sudden he's standing. Walketh in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. He moves from walking. At least he's moving, but then he stops. And then after he stops, he sets down. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. You ever sat down with that crowd, you're in serious trouble. There's no blessings of God there. Son, you cannot yoke up with that crowd and have peace in your heart. I've never seen an hour when Baptists that claim to be saved cannot stay away from that ungodly crowd. And I want to say to you tonight that birds of a feather flock together. And I don't mean to offend nobody here, but I'm telling you, I heard there's a few of them flocking together this past weekend. You can say amen or oh me. I'm telling you, birds of a feather flock together. And here is the ungodly. The degradation. They start out walking, my friend, but before long, they've done stood and they're standing still. And eventually, they're sitting there with the ungodly. You don't become a heroin addict by shooting heroin. You become a heroin addict. I'm going to be kind of bold here. Person, not because, let's just change that. You don't get on crack cocaine or meth by taking crack cocaine and meth. You start out, young people, by sucking on cigarettes and a little drink of liquor and a little Mary Jo. And the next thing you know, you're looking for something else just a little high. And you start snorting that crack to buzz your brain. Amen. And I'm going to tell you why folks do it. They cannot face reality. Brother, I'll tell you, a man or a woman gets saved by the grace of God. You don't have to have crack cocaine, brother. You can face reality because the Bible will comfort our heart in it. We got a young generation boy who wants to drown their sorrows on a bottle of liquor and a little bit of dope. And I'm telling you, in California and Nevada and some of the states are legalizing marijuana. You mark it down, that bunch of money grubbers. Only reason they're doing it, son, is so they can levy a tax and put it in their own back pockets is the only reason there. I feel meaner than a snake tonight. Praise God, I believe I'll just go ahead and get mean. Amen. That's right, buddy. I'm telling you what. I've never seen such a crowd that's willing to sit down with the ungodly. Sit down in their council and just back up and compromise and give way to sin in their life. Buddy, I'm going on. God will be in my helper. I'm going on. Are you going on, sis? I'm going on. I don't want a thing in my life to offend the Holy God. Now, man, we're getting ready to pop out of this place anyway, buddy. That degradation. They're walking, they're standing, and they're sitting. Hey, this is not true of the godly man. Hey, blessed is the man that walketh not, nor, and nor again. The godly man does not one of the three of those. Oh, no. You know why I don't? Everybody look right up here at me. I'm going to tell you why. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Son, we don't dance, we don't march to the tune of their music. I'm glad, thank God. I'm glad, thank God, when God brought me out of sin and degradation. The Son, He began to order my steps. And I'm going to tell you, the first place the step took me was down to the house of God. I wouldn't give you a flip of a used booger for somebody that cannot stay faithful to the house of God. You ain't saved a bit more than a billy goat if you're not faithful to the house of God. I don't care how many tears you cry. I don't care how much sympathy you want. Son, when saved folk get saved, the steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord, and He'll lead you down to God's house where the glory runs out, and you'll walk right under that spout, buddy.
Amen. I'm sick of folks telling me how saved they are and love God and can't even come to church on a regular basis. I don't believe it for a minute. I don't care who you are. If they ain't a hunger to get to church, you ain't got nothing. Amen. Brother Smith, I looked up that word, ordered, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, or looked up the word steps. And that means a regular step. Come on in the house, boys and girls. That godly man is not taking a big step today and a little step tomorrow. But his stride is an equal stride. Son, God orders his steps, and just like old David, he keeps on taking a full step, and death may be just one step behind him, but he's not a stopping, and he ain't a worried about death, and he ain't a looking over his shoulder, because God is an ordinary step, and they're a regular step. They're not an intermittent step, by the way. No, sir. This crowd that's in today and out tomorrow, right with God today and not right with God tomorrow, and they're taking a giant step, it's almost like Mother May I take three midget steps. The next day they're wanting to take three giant steps. The next day they're out of it and ain't taking any steps. That word steps means regular steps. Son, I'm talking about regular steps. Me and Brother Stevie back there today, and I was trying to skin this thing down over this. I can't skin it off. There it is. I was trying, and the thing hit, oh, my goodness, done fell down. I wonder why it fell. I'm going to tell you why it fell down. I've done that on purpose. That thing like that, Brother George grabbed it while going. I said, no. I thought he was going to pull it down, fall backwards on the floor. But I'm telling you, that thing is as unstable as Reuben, friend. You can't put any confidence in that thing. It has no stability to it. I'm telling you, a man, friend, that's not stepping regular with God has absolutely no stability in his life. He's like Reuben. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight. Amen. Ungodly may begin, get this now, the ungodly may begin their evil way practical rather than habitual, but soon they sin from habit. You get a hold of that? A man or a woman will just try sin. I'm going to try it a little while. I'm going to walk with the counsel of the ungodly a little bit here, and I'm just going to dabble with sin. But I'm not going to do it tomorrow. But I'm going to tell you what it'll lead to. It'll lead to hell. Get habit for me. Sin will get habit for me. And I love y'all, but I'm going to tell you, better. Hey, I'm just telling you, you better be careful with you. Better be careful with your computers, ladies and gentlemen. You better be careful what you pop in that computer and watch. I'm telling you, it may be. Practice a little bit today, just a little here and a little there, but it won't be long, my friend, until it'll become a regular habit in your life. I'm telling you, sin is as addictive tonight as cocaine, and it's as rampant, my friend, as leprosy, and it'll gobble you up and eat you alive if you ain't careful. Brother, I know a little bit about what I'm talking about. I'd watch her if I was you. Amen. You may practice it a little while, but it'll not be long till it gets to be a habit. I remember the first cigarette I smoked. LS. MFT. Lucky Strike. Mean. Fine tobacco. You want palm oil? In hoc. Signet of incense. I had on the package of palm oil when I was a boy growing up. Tell me what he don't call it. But old Brother Hall wanted Marlboro Country. Son, I'm telling you that one little cigarette led to an occasional two and three into a regular habit that grabbed me somewhere down in this physical flesh of mine. And before I knew it, I was bound to those cigarettes. And I'm going to tell you,
If I was still a sucking them today and lived in New York City, it'd be costing me $25 a day for a stinking, filthy habit like that. Maybe I'd get rid of it. Amen. Hallelujah. I won't charge you nothing for that. Now notice the consummation of the ungodly. It says in verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The consummation. Notice this. The chaff. The chaff is like, and I'm trying to read this. It's driven away by the wind. Listen carefully. The chaff, while it is united with the wheat and keeps close to the wheat, it enjoys some of the privileges of the wheat. Can you get a hold of that? That chaff, as long as it is attached to that kernel of wheat, enjoys the same privileges that wheat enjoys. But I'm going to tell you what happens, friend, when the wind gets to blowing. That wheat, pardon the expression, it ain't got no lead in the seat of its pants. It's kind of light stuff. It's flimsy stuff. And the wind drives it away. I'm going to tell you why some of you don't want to pray and seek God and get the wind of heaven, the Holy Ghost of God, blowing at Island Ford Baptist Church. Some of you is afraid, son, that the chaff you got in your life, that light stuff you are hanging on to and bragging around with you, you'd have to give it up. And I guarantee you, you get the right wind gusts in here, you will give it up. Get the Holy Ghost working in here. Jesus said, I work hitherto and my Father worketh. Now I'm going to tell you what I don't see much of today is either one of them working. If you get the Holy Ghost, the wind blowing where it listeth, that little old light stuff, buddy. And I'm going to tell you, it might be a little light stuff. I could apply that chaff to sin in the lives of God's people. Or I can apply that chaff to the lost crowd. Now, I'm going to tell you that, hey, there's about three things the lost crowd can't stand. Wind, fire, and rain, buddy. They don't want none of it. They like dead services like we have. Oh, the chaff just goes crazy over something like this. Preacher, don't raise your voice. Preacher, don't spit and slobber. A preacher, don't rant, rave, and carry on. Don't talk about sin. Let's prophesy some smooth things. I'm going to tell you, the smooth day is about gone. That's why folks don't want God in here. Because some of our little pet sins that we play with, we'd have to give them up. I'm talking about like dragging into church 2 minutes before church time. I'm talking about being a tad bit lazy in some areas. There's a number of things, ladies and gentlemen, we could tap on. I'm praying God will get us right. I'm talking about thoroughly getting us right. Amen to God. That chaff, it's light. That wind that driveth it away. It sure does. Let me just read down through here. The judgment. Notice the judgment. Notice the judgment. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The judgment in verse 5. Therefore the judgment, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Hey, look here. Those precious jewels of God, they're still in the same field, friend, with the tares, with that chaff right now. But there's coming a separation day. Woo! Hallelujah to God. There's coming a day when God's going to separate the wheat from the tare. I like what that old black preacher said. He said, there's coming a separation. Oh, there's coming a separation. God's going to separate the tares from the wheat. He said, you don't have to be a tare, but you can be a wheat. If you just come on down and sit down at Jesus' feet. I'm here to tell you, son, there's coming a day of separation when God Almighty will separate the wheat from the chaff, and only the real will be left. It's the house of God. That's right. I like that old thing. You know what? He's preaching something gone wrong in the field. What, he preached something gone wrong in the field? Said, you don't have to be a sheriff, son. I'm going to say he got in that gear too, buddy. About like Brother Tut or Toot or whatever his name is. He tooted his tut up there, buddy. He tooted some other tuts, and they didn't like it too well either. That's right, buddy. Made some of them mad. They wrote about him in the newspaper. He called down here the other day. Talked to Brother Doug about it. Now notice with me. I want you to notice the godly, and we'll be closing in just a minute. I've got three little points here, and we're closing. Look at the godly as he's being converted. Blessed is a man, look here, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seateth in the seat of the scornful. The godly man is just opposite from that, okay? He is converted. And I want to say that it is a rich sign of inward grace when the outward walk is changed. Whoop! Hallelujah to God! I want to say if God has worked in your heart, a brother, and changed you on the inside, there will be a notable difference on the outside. And God's right. When God cleans up that heart on the inside, it ain't long until holiness, that which you cannot see, is manifest in righteousness, which you can see in the child of God. That's right. I'm glad God changed me outward. Now look here, if I was in that easy believism crowd, and that Hiles crowd and all that bunch that believed a man could get saved and just go on living like he was before he got saved, what would you think of me if I stumbled in here Sunday morning with a hangover in my head as big around as a wash tub, been up all night long puking my guts out, had beard all over my face, breath smelt like a billy goat's breath, and tried to stand up here and preach to you in a t-shirt and a chain around my neck, a pair of flip-flops on my feet. Somebody say, oh, the preacher. Well, what would be the difference in me coming in here Sunday morning and standing up here with a big stogie in my mouth? I won't charge you nothing for that. I'm telling you, friend, when God saves a man and changes him on the inside, it will be seen on the outside according to that verse of Scripture. What about Mrs. Hall come walking in here Sunday morning with a miniskirt on? What if Miss Ruth come in here in a miniskirt? What if Brother George took the platform Sunday morning in Bermuda shorts? What are you saying, preacher? Hey, there was an inward change that prompted an outward change that was evident in the walk. And God wants us to recognize the right walk of a child of God. That's right. He was converted. Notice, secondly, not only when a man is converted, but his delight in verse 2 is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Wonder what that man's doing meditating in that book. When he's converted, he begins to commune with God. There is a fellowship with God. And I wrote down a note here, in the day of prosperity, he sang songs. In his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate when? Every now and then? Day and night. Son, and in the daytime, he's a singing songs. And in the night of season, and the night of affliction, he comforts himself with the promises of God. Have you ever laid down on your bed at night and found solace in your heart from the promises that God has given? I'm going to tell you, I like to got beside myself. I was sitting over this morning reading that old book. Woo-hoo! Oh, shine, it's good, that book. I'm telling you, it'll stir up your heart if you'll... Hey! Blessed is that man. In his law doth he meditate. How long? Day and night. He must have loved the Word of God a lot, my friend, to meditate in it day and night. I was over this morning reading in the book of Isaiah. An old Isaiah, the Lord, by the hand of Isaiah, the Lord said, I'll do a new thing. A new thing. A new thing. Yes. And he said, I'll tell you about it before I ever do it. Woo! I said, God, we need a new thing. We need a new thing. I'm telling you, we're in a rut at Island Ford Baptist Church. You know what a rut is? A grave with both ends knocked out of it. We're in a rut. We need a new thing. The songs we sing don't do us like it used to. That's right. And the preaching that I preach don't do us like it used to. I'm going to tell you why. We need a nudge from God. All God has to do is nudge us, and the same old preaching that we used to sit like zombies by would have us right in the pews. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Amen. And the same old songs that we sit like knots on logs about have us up shouting and rejoicing in God. Just a new thing. Now I'm going to tell you what he said in that same chapter. He said, I'm going to pour water on the thirsty. Woo! Son, I'm telling you, I said, Lord, we're drying the corn cob over there. Pour some water on us. Hallelujah. You'd have to say we are, wouldn't you? Drying a corn cob. Oh, how we need God to pour that water on us. Amen. He meditates in the Word continually. At the first, he reads the Word. And the first time you read the Word, get this, he said he meditates. You read the Word one time, you might not see anything. But then meditate on it. And if you meditate on it, it won't be long till you never know, you might see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. I've said this before to our people. I want to say it again. Old Thomas Kempis lived from 1380 to 1471. By the way, that's before the King James Bible was ever written. And Thomas Kempis made this statement. He said, I find no rest, but in a nook with a book. And our problem today is we can't rest long enough with the book to find anything. But oh, if we'll just meditate on that book, just chew on it like an old cow chews on a cud, I'll tell you, the sweet will get sweeter. You better believe it. And somehow God will take the nutrients of the Word of God and just sift them down through your soul. And I'll tell you, it'll make a change in your life and you don't even know it's being made. You ever want to say, if you'll read that Bible and pray, God will make changes in your life and you can't even see it's being made. I won't say this to you. You know, we've got this old thing, sometimes we just say, well, I ain't making no progress at all. You know what Brother Messick said when he left here, when he was over at the house the other day? He said, boy, it appears to me like old Brother Steve Benson's really grown a lot from the last time I was here. It just seemed like he'd done such a good job in Sunday school. So, and folks, I'm going to tell you, you don't have to get up here and rant and rave like Brother Hall does to do good. All you got to do is get some truth out to people. That is all you have to do is just get some truth out to people. Now, I'm going to tell you, hey, just see it. You don't have to, you can't even see it sometimes. But if you'll read that Bible, read it, you may not get nothing the first reading, but sit there and meditate on it a while. And I'm going to tell you, the strength from that Word will permeate your soul and your life and your heart. And buddy, I'll tell you, it won't be long because there will be a growth that can be visible, that is visible by numbers. I said this to you the other night. I won't say it again. I mean it. I am not pulling your leg. I've preached in a lot of churches. I've been in a lot of places. I've seen some of them that's got a lot of hype, and I've seen some of them that's got a so-called a whole lot of God in them. And I've seen some of them that's got a whole lot of money behind them, and I'm telling you, I've never been in one that I'd trade for you. No, sir. About everywhere I go, they're going backwards, Brother Billy. Going backwards on God. Going backwards. I ain't seen none of our ladies lately shaving their head. I ain't seen none of our ladies coming in here, bless God, half naked, no men running around looking like a bunch of morons. We still look just like we did 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago here in the church. And I'd rather have that than
what they got. Better believe I would. Praise the Lord. Don't nobody leave me now. We're about done. Not only the godly being converted and the godly communion with the Lord, but I want you to look at the godly in their completion. Look at verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted. Now, don't nobody fall out with me with this statement I'm getting ready to say. He is not left to the efforts of nature. A godly man is like a tree that is planted. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, he is under the specific watch care of the gardener. And you're not just there like a tree that's out here in the wild. The thought there is, we're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We are like a tree that has been intentionally set in a particular place that we might be fed by the river of life from Almighty God. We are like a tree planted by the water. Hallelujah. We're not like these trees out here in the woods growing at random. We're like an apple orchard, friend, that is tended every day. Pruned and dusted and tended every day. For the reason, for the very reason, hey, look here. Not only planted, but that he might be productive. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in its season. Not only planted, but productive for God. Fruitful for the Lord. And I just mentioned these three little things, and I'm just about done. A fruit, listen to me now, that brings forth patience in the time of suffering. I'm going to tell you, I've never seen so many people that begin to suffer a little bit and whine like babies. Come on in the house, boys and girls. We can get a little body affliction and start whimpering and whining like a little 2-year-old baby with a colic. Has it ever occurred to you, friend, that when we become a little bit fruitful, a little fruitful, that we'll mature and have a little patience in our suffering? The Lord was very patient in His suffering. Huh? And I don't enjoy being sick. Nobody does. I don't enjoy disappointments and discouragements and letdowns any more than anybody else. But I'm going to tell you what we ought to be if we're like that tree planted by the rivers of water. When that little time of suffering comes, we'll show some patience. You know, hey, do you know what patience is? Can I just enlighten you on what patience is? Patience is the ability to stay under the load and carry it until God moves it. That's patience. The ability to wait on God while under the load of affliction. Just like a donkey stays under that load until God relieves it. I don't know many people today that's got that kind of faith either, that patience either, buddy. First thing we do, whine. Come on in the house, boys and girls. That fruit, there's the faith. We'll have faith in the midst of trials. And we'll have joy in our prosperity. Hallelujah. God has blessed people in this church abundantly. God's blessed some of you in a real way. And I don't see an ounce of joy because of it. We squealed and hollered in here on that night when Brother Blue preached on Hannah. We squealed and carried on for about 5 minutes, because Angie, God had done something that the doctor said could never be done. And it lasted about 5 minutes and it was gone. Miss Louise gonna get laid off. I figured she'd run the house tonight. Joy, faith, patience, all these from God. And then he said, prosperity. And whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. I wonder though if sometimes we fail to recognize prosperity. Fail to recognize it, what it really is. Godly and ungodly. A great contrast between the two. Let's stand together.